Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
A new study launched today by Minister for Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth, Roderick O'Gorman, and key stakeholders, including the Pavy Point Traveller and Roma Centre, the European Union Agency for Fundamental Rights, and others. They've launched this report on the rights and living conditions of travellers in Ireland. It shows us some damning results, including 10% of travellers going to bed hungry, including children. 90% of travellers say there is insufficient and inadequate accommodation available, including in halting sites. To discuss this further, we are joined by Henry McKean, who's been visiting different sites and chatting to Pavy Point. Henry, talk us through some of the main findings of this report.
Yeah, the survey results published today show major barriers to equality faced by travellers. The report found that members of the traveller and Roma community feel discriminated against because of their backgrounds. We'll start with employment. Travellers in Ireland report the lowest rates of employment in all these countries surveyed. I think there was 5 European countries at just 15%. Poverty and social exclusion. 10% of travellers, including children, the report says, go to bed hungry at least once in the last month, rising to a fifth in some other countries. Accommodation, over 90% of travellers reported that there is insufficient and inadequate accommodation available, including halting sites. Here is co-founder of Pavy Point, Martin Collins. I asked him about the 10% of adults and traveller kids going hungry at night.
In terms of your very specific question around 10% of children at least once a month going to bed hungry, it's essentially down to poverty. People living below the poverty line on social welfare, it's not enough to live on. Employment prospects are almost zilch for travellers. There's a lot of discrimination in the labour market, and then plus a lot of travellers don't really have the necessary educational qualifications to compete in the labour market. But even for those who do have the qualifications, few and all as they are, they find it extremely difficult to get jobs because, unfortunately, racism does persist in the labour market and many employers will not employ travellers. This is the first time ever that they've actually commissioned a piece of research on the experience and the situation of travellers in Ireland. It's also the first time ever that, in fact, it's a comparable study. In other words, it involved surveying the experience and situation of Roman travellers in 5 other European countries, the UK, Sweden, Belgium and France. So we were able to assess the experience and the situation of travellers in Ireland with that of Roma and travellers in the other 5 countries concerned. And the report speaks to the ongoing systemic racism and exclusion that travellers experience in Irish society, and we can see that in the evidence and the outcomes, in terms of health inequalities, low employment prospects, low educational attainment, high education dropout rates. It just confirms what we knew all along. It's really further evidence to call on the government to work with travel organisations in developing the necessary policy response in addressing these human rights violations. Essentially, that's what they are.
Yeah, grim and all as that sounds, Henry, I suppose nothing new in shortcomings around accommodation and living conditions. Nothing new as well in another part of the report that caught my eye. Almost half of people say they'd feel uncomfortable with travellers as their neighbours. That's another big problem.
Yeah, and nothing new. You're right. A number of years ago, I did a documentary on TV about travellers and not much has changed. I met these people from the settled community and I asked, how would they feel if travellers were going to move into their neighbourhood? And I got a mixed response.
Travelling community is great.
You like them?
Yeah, I like the travelling community.
And you would be okay with them moving in next door?
Yeah, of course.
Because they look at them in the past, the way they
they make them feel, I suppose. They live up by us and there's
no
problems.
Travellers living near you and you get on with them?
Yeah, they're lovely neighbours, yeah. No bother.
Oh, they look really rough looking, don't they, travellers? Like, you see, they look bad looking, like. They're good people, yeah. Yeah, most of them, yeah.
When they go out and have a few drinks, they really have a party. And I might be a bit jealous of that, you know, at this stage.
So would you mind if a council wanted to put traveller accommodation near your home?
Yes, I don't think I'd be very happy. A lot of them are very nice and they are very sociable. But I just think that they would be a bit loud for me now at my age. That's my problem.
Yeah, I am uncomfortable about it, yeah, because I have some living beside me and it's just not good. They leave messes and leave that rubbish everywhere and it's just not good for them moving in us people, you know.
So you would be a member of the settled community?
Yeah, the settled community. Keep the settled to the settled and the travellers to the travellers. Leave them separate, like.
So you don't want them moving in next door?
No, I don't, no.
I'd say a view held by a lot of people probably listening to us now right around the country. Henry, you got a tour of a halting site as well?
I did a halting site that's also traveller accommodation. I met Patrick Riley in his mobile home in Finglas. And we touch on discrimination. We talk about COVID. COVID has been a big issue amongst travellers. And we also talk about social media and old-fashioned media.
We're not talking 30, 40, 50 years ago. We're talking about Ireland today. Yes, it's been very hard on travellers and difficult in the sense of the overcrowding, for example, and travellers have nowhere to go. And we've seen where local authorities have failed to draw down traveller-specific funding, let alone spend it. And we're seeing the impact that's having on the community. And especially now with COVID, we've been hearing the national messages to isolate, to keep safe, to continuously be washing your hands, keeping the distance. But when you're living in poor living conditions that we spoke about, it can be very, very difficult for travellers. We're not talking about 30, 40, 50 years ago. It's very much today.
So we're talking about now, and that figure, 10% of children and adults from the traveller community are going to bed hungry. This is not 1950s Ireland.
Exactly, and you said it there, it's not 1950s Ireland. There is poverty among the travelling community and the report has shown that as well.
And why discrimination? Why is it so hard to get a job? Why is there still bullying and racism in schools? Why is there still, you know, accommodation issues on a massive scale?
Well, that's going back to the historical. If you look at the history overall, travellers were seen to be a problem. They don't want to work, the men is lazy, the men are violent. You know, it's that historical view on travellers that were failed settled people. And that has continued to this day. And it seems to be that it's easy to say things about travellers and Roma and there's no consequences. And we see that it's more prevalent now on social media. We see that, you know, and there's reporting mechanisms, but they go unheard of most of the time.
Pa Riley there in Finglas. Pa mentioned there, Henry, I suppose, some of the discrimination that he and other travellers face. This report highlights some of that. It's been documented, though, like all of this, it's been documented in other reports as well, isn't it?
Mm. And it has. And, you know, the figures are staggering. 68% of men and 62% of women reported experiencing discrimination. To be honest with you, I thought that figure would be higher. And this is reflected in the general response to the survey. And we talked about that also. 46% of settled people would feel uncomfortable with the Roma and travellers as neighbours. And we can talk about education as well. Ireland has the second highest rate of traveller children in early school education at 75%. However, it says it lags behind the general population. And also there is a 70% rate of early school leaving amongst Irish travellers compared to just 5% of the general population. And I know we've heard these similar figures before. Here is Martin Collins again, who isn't surprised by the findings.
We have the second highest rate of levels of reported discrimination of the six countries that was surveyed. The survey also tells us that 27% of traveller children have experienced bullying in school on the basis of the traveller identity. So let's not make any mistake about this. Let's be very, very clear. Racism is a problem. It is institutional, It is structural, and we need leadership in addressing racism.
90% of Irish travellers are saying there is insufficient and inadequate accommodation available, including halting sites. And every year, the councils across Ireland are given money to build travel accommodation, and they don't build it.
Well, again, there's no great surprises in the survey when 90% of travellers said there was insufficient or inadequate accommodation available for travellers, which includes halting site accommodation and group housing schemes. And again, this points to the ongoing systemic failure of local authorities not providing accommodation for travellers. We know since the year 2000, €69 million that was allocated for travel accommodation has gone unspent. That's an absolute shame, especially in a context where we have 1,300 traveller families, equating to about 6,000 people, who have nowhere to live. They are effectively homeless, no access to water, sanitation, refuse collection or electricity supply. And in that context, for budgets not to be fully spent, travel accommodation needs to be taken out of the hands of local authorities, because local authorities have proven themselves to be inherently unwilling, incapable or both in delivering accommodation for travellers. We need a completely new approach. This power, this function must be taken away from local authorities. Travel accommodation at local authority level is too heavily politicised. I have never ever once witnessed a situation where a travel site was proposed and there wasn't an objection to it. There has always been objections, and that's the problem. The problem is NIMBYism, not in my backyard. And then the problem is local authorities caving in to racism at local level. And that's why I'm suggesting, and Pavi Point is suggesting, that travel accommodation needs to be taken out of the hands of local authorities. They have failed miserably over the last 20-30 years.
Yeah, Martin Collins wrapping up that report from our own Henry McKean.